The hidden node for August 27th, 2014. It is the, 26th episode of the Dog Days of Podcast and getting close to the end. So, it has been a busy night for me. Who here watches cooking shows and actually, you know, makes the food from them sometimes? Because I know I'm raising my hand right now. Tomorrow at the office, we should be having a potluck. I tend to bring a entree of some sort, either a very heavy, you know, starchy side, or a particular, like, you know, meat entree. And my most common meat entree, since the group I'm with tends to, nobody wants to fork out enough money to make the meat entree, I tend to cover that. And so, I've made Tyler's Ultimate Meatballs. Tyler's Ultimate, it's an okay show. It's an episode from a long time ago. It's one of those meatball recipes I like making. It's relatively simple. The kind of gist of it is, and I've definitely just learned to eyeball it nowadays, so this kind of works. You basically fry up some fresh garlic, onions in a pan. Once those have gotten to the point where the vegetables kind of have started to clear it a little bit, you take some fresh bread, cut off the crust, and gently, kind of lightly soak it in milk. You don't want to drown it, but just enough to get it relatively moist throughout. Then take one part ground pork, one part ground sirloin, or ground lean beef, whichever. Don't go with chuck. You want something that has not too much fat. You get plenty of fat from the pork. Combine that with one egg per pound. Combine the bread in there. Strain off some of the extra milk, by the way. And then toss in the now hopefully cooled onions and, fried onions and fried, garlic. Make a little, like kind of half-dollar meatballs out of it. Pan fry that. Just like you would normal meatballs, I guess. I'd pan fry it. And then, kind of bake it in the oven with the sauce of your choosing. I tend not to go too fancy with the sauce. As in, I buy Publix Greenwise tomato sauce. And then just kind of pour it over and it's done. I've used a few other sauces before, but as far as a sauce directly from the can approach, the Greenwise stuff from Publix is pretty good. So, those are tasting awesome. Tried a few. Bake them in the oven 350 for, if you eat it really small with the meatballs, 20 minutes. If they're like bigger ones, times may vary, 10, 20 extra minutes. I did these at about 40, 45 minutes because, yeah, they're bigger ones. You know, I want to make sure people at the office enjoy them. They tend to see small ones and you think, oh, that's not much food. They're weird that way. So, it's left me a bit exhausted because I ended up cooking about 3.5 pounds, maybe 4. I had prepped 5 pounds worth of meatballs, but I didn't cook one of the pounds because I just kind of tossed that in the freezer for me and Patty next week sometime. It's a little bit easier just grab and go that way. But since I only have so many pans, I'm having to cook all of them in shifts, and so at this point they're all baked up, they've already been done, but it's two or three shifts of cooking that much food items is it's a little tiring at the end of the day. It's one of the reasons we tend not to cook dinner too much during a work day. I'm glad that earlier this week we did the food prep stuff, because I gotta tell you, the last two or three days of being able to just quick come home, zap something that we prepped on Monday, and just get it rolling, it's been pretty good. So, today's topic. Well, I don't want to get quite to our topic today yet, because I do want to say today feels really weird. Normally, what I'd be doing right now is I'd be asleep already. It's about 11:30 as I start to record this. And my typical thing at this time of year should be going to bed sometime around 8, 9 o'clock, and waking up around 4 a.m. And being out the door by 4:30, 5 o'clock. So I could be at the airport by 5:45, 6 o'clock. So Thursday morning, I would be in Atlanta pretty much before rush hour. It's just a quick hour flight. So I guess it kind of ends up being right in the middle of rush hour. But since I tend to do the cab approach when I first get in, I don't mind doing the MART on the way back. But, I don't know, I just like the ease of the cab just because I'm not having to struggle or fight for the people to move around. And yeah, some of you guys may know I'm a bit of a slower mover than most people, so spending a little bit of extra cash just to pay a cab to get to the con hotels, that would be my preferred method. But not this year, unfortunately. Things are as they will be. Next year, as I said before, I'll see y'all there. But for now, you guys have an awesome time. I will be trying to catch as many as you can as I can of you guys through whatever streaming they have going on in the podcasting track. Hopefully, I can find a couple of streaming things for DragonCon this year, because there's still a lot of panels I would like to see, you know. And while I may be working Friday and Saturday, yay, I still will try to catch as many of your guys' stuff as I can. So, now, on to the topic. So, we're getting back to the actual game part of this, and this is kind of past, well, really, for the most part, we're at the present. I know tomorrow's episode, I kind of talk about the group as is, as they exist now, but I guess this episode I'm kind of talking about the games as they exist now. So, my gaming hobbies over the years have fluctuated back and forth. You've heard, you know, so far about how, you know, I've been primarily a first-person shooter player, followed up pretty much immediately by role-playing games. And, you know, nowadays you're seeing a lot of hybrids, a lot of games that try to kind of balance that line, you know. For example, there's a couple good examples of the role-playing meets first-person shooter aspects. Borderlands would be a good example. You know, you've kind of fast-paced, you know, Twitch gameplay mixed heavily with this kind of, you know, leveling system your character goes through and allows you to kind of have more of a unique substance to your character. Then you have another example of that would be the Deus Ex series, particularly Deus Ex 1 and Deus Ex Human Revolutions. Both fantastic games, by the way. Both very indicative of their era they were a part of, with Deus Ex, first one being, what, early 2000s? And Human Revolution being maybe 2 years old now? Both of them are really great games, and it's kind of interesting seeing how the technology has shifted between the two. But you know, honestly, there's the biggest thing in gaming trends is gameplay itself is always expanding, always becoming better. There's always interesting mechanics out there. And I am talking primarily as a PC, you know, user, because, well, as you guys know, I haven't really played a console in years. But I've still seen the activities of them, and it's really interesting seeing as, you know, as they've developed, as the technology for first-person shooters and action games for console catches up to what PC can do, to a degree with keyboard and mouse. Now, they can't do everything. The controller is rather limited. In fact, I think I covered it slightly in the first-person shooter episode, but you know, if you toss in a first-person shooter on a PC versus an FPS player on a console using a controller, or just, you know, give someone on the PC using a controller versus somebody using a mouse, guy with the mouse is probably going to do a lot better, just because you have a greater range of freedom. And console still hasn't quite caught on to that. Don't know if they ever will. It's kind of their whole proprietary thing, using the controller. And you're even seeing PCs trying to get into that, you know, now too, with things like NVIDIA Shield's portable device or the Steam Box that's, you know, controller focused. I'm not sure if it's really a good trend. It's an interesting trend, but I'm not sure if it's good or bad. But one thing that, and I've seen many communities on the fence about this, but one of the things I like about the modern gaming trends is the habit to forgo the whole mainstream notion of you must have top-of-the-line graphics. Graphics must be, oh my god, the best ever. Because, well, you really don't need to have the best graphics. I mean, I can spot off, you know, a bunch of games that help define this. And I probably will in a minute. But really, the only game I need to say to justify the stance of you don't need the best graphics to be an amazing game is Minecraft. Because, I mean, Minecraft's one of those games where if you get it and you get addicted to it, you will have a hard time putting it down. It's one of those games that, you know, my group of players have come back to again and again and again. Yeah, we take hiatuses every now and then, and like right now we're kind of on one. But it has such opportunity. It's kind of a sort of a blank slate, especially once you start tossing in mods or plugins in there. Now, to kind of understand what the Minecraft community means by those two things, so there's two types of ways of modding Minecraft. There's a server-side mods and client-side mods. Now, client-side mods are what normal players call mods. They're basically files or modified code you add to your executable for Minecraft, or the .raw file that Minecraft comes from. Plugins usually come with something like a... Oh, modder's done. Don't know if you heard that. plugins come from server-side with things like Bucket or Spout. And they tend to be a bit more limited in terms of what they can do in terms of adding new content, like actual new objects, new images, new textures, new blocks, that type of thing. Whereas mods excel at that. Whereas mods have a hard time kind of really controlling gameplay mechanics as such. Whereas plugins seem to be very adamant about that. A very powerful, you know, working things in that way. Hold on, I'm getting tapped on the shoulder by a cat, which is weird, because she's on the ground and somehow reaching up to me. Anyway. Where was I? I'm like getting completely in tangent territory right now. So, let me backtrack. I will probably have an episode talking about Minecraft sometime after the Dark Days of Podcasting. So let me save that topic until then. But, oh man, Minecraft. Love that game. But beyond Minecraft, there's a lot of games that have been coming out that have filled this niche of, you know, you can be a good game without having the top graphics. Now, you don't necessarily have to have bad graphics. Again, Minecraft is an example of kind of going very minimalistic. And that might be an extreme some people may not be comfortable with. And you don't necessarily need to go that far. So, for example, last year's very successful Shadowrun Returns. Shadowrun Returns is pretty. It's not like top of the line, look at these best CGI scenes ever. But it's a very pretty modern game. It tells a great story and fits very well in its demographic. It also relies on kind of a style of gameplay that hasn't really been around for a while. The whole kind of isometric view thing. I mean, there are a few games that you know, work that way, but it's kind of a genre, or at least a method of gaming that hasn't really been used heavily. And I'm kind of hoping it kind of makes a revision. Oh, sorry. Not the word I'm looking for. Revision? Revival. In terms of just being seen by more studios. Because it's a fun mechanic. That's kind of weird, you know. You don't have an omnipotent protagonist in the way of the protagonist's activities, whereas you as the narrator of the game have this kind of omnipotent view of, you know, everything that's going on. It's pretty cool. And, you know, I'm loving seeing games come out like that. I'm loving seeing things like, you know, Steam's Greenlight or Kickstarter games. Now, it is really nice seeing more indie games and them having a platform. But I will fully admit, I have been burned by Kickstarter. I tend to invest in games when I do invest in Kickstarter with the notion of, I hope this works out. I don't go in hoping, you know, demanding I'm going to get a copy of the game. A lot of times I don't even donate at the level that would get me a free copy of the game, but just enough to kind of help the game spark on. That said, there are some games I have super donated to definitely get a copy of. For example, that Shadow and Return games I mentioned, I was a donor at the $125 level. Shadow Online, same year, also a donor at the $100 level. But I think that's kind of an exception to my normal rules, because it's Shadowrun, and that's totally my jam. I actually just said that. So I'm kind of losing the thread. I guess what I'm getting to is, I've heard some people saying that gaming in general is dying, and casual gaming is taking over, and there was a Facebook thread about that recently. And I don't believe that in the least. It could be that I'm, you know, stuck waist deep in the hobby and, you know, very much a fanboy of the hobby. But I see new players every day. I see new people who haven't gamed before picking up controllers. I don't see how this hobby is going anywhere but up. I mean, don't most mainstream titles nowadays make almost as much, if not more, than most movies? Like, let me see. GTA 5. How much did GTA 5... Sorry. So, on Forbes website, sorry, getting in ads already. On Forbes website, Grand Theft Auto 5 has sold nearly $2 billion worth of copies. So, wow. That's most than most movies ever make. And that's a game that's a year old. That industry is not going away. It's making way too much money. And GTA 5 is anything but casual. I am rambly. I'm tired. I'm going to talk more about the future of games, I think, in upcoming episodes, especially since once I get to the point where I'm doing this more often, it's not a particular theme. You'll probably hear me start giving a bit more reviews of games. I own a lot of games on Steam, and I need to get around to playing them, so expect to hear me start talking about the ones that I'm start mainlining. And who knows, I might do that thing some of my friends have started doing with streaming. Who knows? Might be fun. But for now, I'm going to go to bed. I will talk to you tomorrow. To everyone going to Dragon Con, I'm jealous of you. And I can't wait to hear your stories. But for now, bye-bye. Do you know when I say that, I actually wave at the screen. It's kind of weird, huh? You didn't really need to know that. Bye-bye. There, I just waved again. Weird.